I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. And I want to read verses 10 through 13. Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 through 13. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other, Abram dwelling in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelling in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot went east. One of the things that I think you will find as you study the Word of God, that words are significant. The fact that Lot went east is significant. And traveling east is not drawing nigh unto God as far as the Word of God is concerned. I want to reflect on the fact that Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld the plain of Jordan. Lot did the same thing that Eve did when she was in the garden. In Genesis 3 and verse 6, it tells us, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat it, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Things are not always what they seem. And what looks good does not necessarily mean that they are good. And so we need to be careful in our choices that we make. Eve looked, she desired what she saw, and she took it. Lot did the same thing. He lifted up his eyes, and he beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, that it was lush fields of green grass to support his herds of cattle and sheep. And so he moved east towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Achan did likewise. When Joshua and the children of Israel were taking the land of Canaan, in Joshua 7:21, Achan was confessing, "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Achan saw the garments of the Babylonians, the gold and the silver, and he took them. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3, that what we look at can cause us to be on slippery ground. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, or the plains of Jordan, and he looked at their prosperity. I guess that's what it amounts to. When you look at the well-watered plains of the Jordan, you see a land that will make you prosperous. And there are times when we envy the foolish, when we see the prosperity of the wicked. They don't have troubles. The rich don't have the troubles that the poor folks have. And that's obvious. But Lot journeyed east. And we see that in Genesis 13:11, when Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. I made reference to this journeying east before, and I thought it would be good for us to just look at what it meant to journey east. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, it says that he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim. Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden eastward. When Cain killed Abel, which way did Cain leave his family? In Genesis 4:16, it tells us, "And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east side of Eden." Cain went from the presence of the Lord, moving eastward. Ezekiel tells us that the glory of the Lord departed from Israel. And when the glory of the Lord departed from Israel, it moved eastward. In Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And every one stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house." And then in Ezekiel chapter 11, "Then did the cherubims," this is in verse 22 and 23, "Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mount which is on the east side of the city." So we see the glory of the Lord departing from Israel in the days of Ezekiel. And it went through the eastern gate and it went out to Mount Olivet. That's the mountain that is the east of the city of Jerusalem. Now, when the glory of the Lord returns to Israel, it will move west. It will come from the Mount of Olives and through the eastern gate and into the Holy of Holies on the mount, where the temple will be. When I think about that, moving west, when Adam and Eve came to offer sacrifices, they came to the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden. To get to the eastern gate of the Garden of Eden, which way did they have to travel? They traveled west. And for Cain to have to return to the Lord, that he would have had to have traveled to the west as well. And we see that the glory of the Lord traveled west when it came back into the temple. In Ezekiel 43 and in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Afterward, he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory." The glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east. In Ezekiel 43 and verse 4 it says, "And the glory of the Lord came in by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east." The glory of the Lord came which way? Through the eastern gate of the city. This happened when Jesus Christ was here in his ministry. But it's going to happen again when the glory of the Lord is going to really return to the nation of Israel. But in Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, it says, "When they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if a man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt of the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. and brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon, and a great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before them and that followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. This is an incident where Jesus went through the eastern gate in his day. And he went into the temple. And he came there via the Mount of Olives. But the glory of the Lord is going to come again, and it's going to come from the Mount of Olives through the eastern gate into the Holy of Holies. Zechariah 9 in verse 9 tells us that we are to rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold, thy King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. He fulfilled that prophecy in Matthew chapter 21. Now, there's something interesting. Also in Ezekiel chapter 44, it tells us in verses 1 and 2, that he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, This gate shall be shut. It shall not be open, and no man shall enter it or enter by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. Ezekiel was looking toward the east, and the gate, the eastern gate, was shut. And that gate was not to be opened, and it was going to be shut. This actually physically happened in 1517. And I referred to it in a past message, where the Turks, under the Ottoman Empire, conquered Jerusalem under the leadership of Suleiman the Magnificent. And he commanded that the city's ancient walls be rebuilt. And in the midst of his rebuilding projects, for some unknown reason, he ordered that the eastern gate be sealed with stones. Legend has it that Suleiman heard that Israel's Messiah would return and enter through the eastern gate. So Suleiman decided to put an end to Jewish hopes by ordering the eastern gate sealed. And he also put a Muslim cemetery in front of the gate, believing that no Jewish holy man would defile himself by walking through a Muslim cemetery. So since 1517, when that gate has been sealed, it has never been opened again. Now how is that gate going to be opened? And when is that going to be opened? In Ezekiel 46, we find something very interesting. Thus saith the Lord God, The gate of the inner city court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be opened. In other words, when is the eastern gate going to be opened? It's going to be opened on the 7th day. And what is the 7th day? The 7th day is the millennium. The millennium is when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And when he returns, where is he going to return to? Well, Zechariah 14:4 tells us that his feet shall stand in that day, that is the millennium, the beginning of the millennium, or the 7th day, stand upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a great valley. And a half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. What's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns? He's going to divide the Mount of Olives, and I think that's going to take away the Muslim cemetery, and it's going to cause the eastern gate to be opened, and he will enter in through the eastern gate. Now, in Isaiah 29, verse 13, it talks about the people of Israel that draw near to God with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Come on, just read Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. I think that we need to reflect upon our own path in our own life. Which way are we moving? Are we moving to the Lord, or are we moving away from the Lord? Often our eyes distract us and keep us from drawing nigh unto the Lord, because we see things that we want that are seemingly good. And they may be good in themselves, but they're not the best. And we can be like the children of Israel. We can speak or talk the talk, but our hearts can be far from the Lord. And that's the way it was in the days of Ezekiel and in the days of Isaiah. In Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 16, Ezekiel saw a vision when the Lord brought him into the inner court, and there were 25 men in this inner court, and their backs were toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east, looking toward the east. And they worshiped the sun toward the east. God set up the temple and the eastern gate and the tabernacle so that it would face to the east. The door of the tabernacle was on the eastern side of the tabernacle. So when people came into the tabernacle or came toward the tabernacle, they were moving west. But it says Ezekiel saw some men in the inner court with their backs to the temple, and they were facing eastward, worshiping the sun. Jesus Christ referred to the people in His day when He said, "This people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We can be drawing away from the Lord, and we need to be encouraged to draw to the Lord. I was reflecting upon the wise men. We're thinking about the wise men this season of the year. In Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Which way were they moving? They were moving west. They were moving toward the Lord, saying, "Where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him." I guess when I read verse 2, I was thinking that the wise men were looking eastwardly from their perspective and saw the star in the east, eastern sky. You follow what I'm driving at? Here the wise men are in the east, and they saw His star in the east. Actually, they saw the star, or His star, from the east, because His star was actually in the west. Where did His star arise out of? Came out of Jacob, didn't it? So the wise men were looking in which direction to see the star of the Lord? West. We know that the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto the Lord. The Lord wants us to draw nigh unto Him. Hebrews tells us that God has made a way for us to go into the Holy of Holies, a living way, a better way, through His blood. We can draw nigh unto Him today. We're not so worried about which direction we're moving or which direction we're facing. We don't have to face the temple to pray today. We can move right into the Holy of Holies to pray unto the Lord, because that door has been opened. But it's important for us to know that God knows which way we're moving. And I think it's encouraging to me to look at a few more details about which way the people were moving and facing when they were worshiping the Lord or moving away from the Lord. In fact, Jerusalem is referred to as Sodom. And Jerusalem being referred to as Sodom, the Lord referred to Jerusalem's two sisters. And it's interesting that one of Jerusalem's sisters was Samaria on her left and Gomorrah on her right. And for Jerusalem's sister Samaria to be on her left, she had to be facing the wrong direction. She had to be facing eastward, and the tabernacle was to her back with Gomorrah on her right. So it's very significant. The Lord has been even to details like directions in which the nation of Israel is to worship. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 tells us that He gives more grace, wherefore the Lord resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We're to submit ourselves therefore to God and resist the devil, knowing that he will flee from us. We're to draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. We need to cleanse our hands, ye sinners, and purify our hearts, ye double-minded. When I look at Lot, I look at Lot as a double-minded person. He was of the seed of Shem, and yet he did not have the dedication to the Lord that Abraham had. Lot moved away from the Lord, and what happened to Lot was he got himself in trouble. When we move away from the Lord, we're going to get ourselves in trouble. And so therefore we need to be single of heart, not a double-minded person. We need to draw nigh unto God, knowing that He will draw nigh to you. The Lord wants to have fellowship with us, and the Lord has made provision for us to do just that. Shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Father, we just thank You for Your Word. Bless the message to each of us this morning, and help us, Lord, to respond in obedience, to draw nigh unto You. For these things we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.